As a Michigander, you've probably used your hands to show someone your hometown a time or two. If you were from the Keweenaw Peninsula, you'd have to point to the tip of the thumb on your left hand. The strip of land jutting into Lake Superior is the northernmost point of Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and it's home to some of the state's most beautiful hiking trails and nature preserves. But among all that wildlife and those scenic waterfalls is something you might not expect to see in such a remote location, a Catholic monastery. To learn more about the Holy Transfiguration Skeet Monastery and the men who call it home, we welcome Detroit Free Press reporter John Carlisle. John, welcome to Current State.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure seeing your column on Sundays, by the way. Thank you for traveling near and far and sharing these extraordinary stories with us. This isn't just in the Upper Peninsula. It's just about as remote as you can get in the Upper Peninsula. How did you come across this monastery?
Well, I knew they had a little store that sold jam, and I know it's one of the few tourist spots up there, but the fact that it's monks doing it, I knew there had to be some amazing backstory of how monks wound up in the Upper Peninsula. So we went up there in the off-season when the tourists aren't coming, and they're just sort of by themselves making jam and making bread and stuff, and spent some time with them, and we were just eager to learn what life is like for a monk in probably the most remote part of Michigan.
What does the monastery look like? How much land do these guys have?
Well, they started with only a few lakefront acres. They're up to 700 acres now, so they've got a lot of woods, a beautiful strip of land along the Lake Superior shore. But the monastery is actually quite beautiful. They bought an old resort that was kind of crumbling, and they moved into this one-room shack, and they kind of added on as people contributed to them and as they made money from jamming. So it's now very beautiful with gold top domes and an amazing view of Lake Superior, but they keep expanding, and it's a great spot for contemplation and solitude.
Where did all the members of this monastery come from?
Well, they're not crew. They're not a bunch. Most of them are from Michigan. The two founders were originally from Detroit. They were two friends who lived in Ann Arbor and Detroit and described themselves as artists and musicians and lay Catholics who just wanted something more. And they came up with the idea of starting their own monastery, and they moved up there in the dead of winter to test their resolve, because everybody said, you're crazy, and the UP is the last place you want to go, but if you want to find out for sure, go in the winter. So they did, and they nearly starved to death and froze to death, but they persevered and attracted one monk after another, so they're up to seven now, and in their mind, this is so far a success, and it keeps growing.
They nearly starved to death and froze to death. Do you mean that literally?
Yeah, they got up there, and they didn't know anything about the UP, so they didn't save enough firewood. They moved into a shack that did not have insulation, did not have running water, and I think they were just so taken, so giddy with the idea of doing it, they didn't really plan it. And they had neighbors coming over saying, you guys have to get this settled, because you will literally die if you do not have enough firewood in this place. So with a little help from people up there, people would drop off some wood for free. People would bring them water. They gradually learned the ways of the Upper Peninsula, and got their act together. But at first, it was pretty dicey. Two guys in an unheated, uninsulated shack with no plumbing.
That was when?
That was 1983, so they've come a long way.
How many monks live there now?
There are seven monks.
A community of seven monks. On the tip,
and they look to grow. They still advertise, and they still try to find people. And people are welcome to come for retreats, whether they're people who are prospective candidates or just everyday people who want to sample monastic life. People are welcome to come and stay. You get to work with them. You get to eat meals with them, and go into a little cabin and stay there by yourself and see if you like the life.
We're talking to Detroit Free Press reporter John Carlisle about his recent reporting on the Holy Transfiguration Skeet Monastery, located on the Keweenaw Peninsula in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. What's day-to-day life like at the monastery?
Well, that was what fascinated me, is that in any monastery, life is stripped down to a few basic tasks so that people can focus mostly on prayer and contemplation. So they get up in the dead of night, 3 or 4 in the morning, pray for a few hours, have mass, and then they go to work, and they make jam and jellies and things like that for an 8-hour day. Come back to the monastery, have church, have dinner, and right back to bed. And so it's a very stripped down, strict life that adheres to the monk's credo of you work and you pray. And it's fascinating to watch.
Poverty, chastity, obedience, and jam.
Yeah, that sums it up.
And I want to ask you about beer as well. Trappist beers, which are made by Roman Catholic monks, are a favorite amongst beer enthusiasts. And I know that the Holy Transfiguration Skeet has its own slightly less alcoholic claim to fame. Tell us about that.
Are you talking about the brandy-soaked bread?
Yes.
Yeah, they have a rum cake. To preserve it, they soak it in liquor, and it is unbelievable to watch them make it because it's dipped in this pool of liquor. It smells, stinks up the whole room, and you've got a monk covered in alcohol. But they swear they don't drink it, only a little wine now and then, but it is a very popular item, as you can guess. It soaks right through the cake, and it's like a chewable shot.
It's become, as you pointed out, it's become kind of a tourist destination for people visiting the Keweenaw Peninsula, and they've even had a documentary made about their lives at the monastery. How have the monks that you talk to reacted to the attention that they've received?
Well, I think the two monks who founded it, having come from Detroit and Ann Arbor and having been part of an art scene, are a little more media savvy or a little more attention savvy. The monks who have followed, who were just regular people from generally rural areas of Michigan, are not used to this kind of attention at all. So they kind of shied away from us a little bit. They did talk to us, but they did not, I don't think they liked the attention. They came up there to be alone for a reason. And so I think they prefer to work in the back and make the jams and the cakes.
I read about religious communities and how they're dying out because they're failing to recruit new members. Has this monastery picked up new members lately?
It's very slow. 7 monks over a period of a couple decades. While we were there, there was a prospective candidate who came in and left and said, I'll let you know. I think I think people have a fantasy of monastic life, and they don't realize it truly is just working and praying. And as the monk said, some people think they'll spend a week there and walk away with some sort of enlightenment that changes their life forever. And the monks say, it is not like that at all. It's very hard work, both in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense, and you're not going to walk in and suddenly experience a life-changing illumination. So I think a lot of people go there with that in mind, and they walk away disappointed that it's not as easy as they think.
But it sounds quiet and subdued. Is it as quiet and subdued there as it sounds?
Oh, yeah, absolutely beautiful. You can be in the wilderness all day, all night. It's silent, especially not in, even during tourist season, there's not that many people up there. The Keweenaw is obviously very remote. So it is the perfect place in Michigan for this kind of life.
Tempted to leave those Free Press deadlines behind, John, and join the monastery after your visit?
I got to tell you, that Lake Superior, having a place to live a few feet from Lake Superior, is absolutely beautiful. And it sure is tempting, although I bet if I went up there now, it probably wouldn't be so tempting in the middle of winter.
And that 3 a.m. alarm would probably wear old pretty fast, I imagine.
Yeah, that might be the deal killer right there.
Exactly. We want to thank John Carlisle, a reporter for the Detroit Free Press. We've been talking about his recent article on the Holy Transfiguration Skeet Monastery in Michigan's Keweenaw Peninsula, way up there. John, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to your columns.
Thank you, Mark.